Today's sermon is the first in what will be a reoccurring theme throughout the coming year, being human. That's what we're all about here, after all, being human. How do we do being human well? What does it mean to be human, to become more fully human? If you're a member of the church, you recently received your copy of the Unitarian Universalist World magazine. This quarterly magazine is one of the benefits of membership. The cover story was an article by Kendall Gibbons about spirituality for skeptics. Any of you read this? Some of you? A few of you? Okay. If you haven't yet, and you still have your magazine, I hope you will. Some of you know Kendall. She was for many years the minister in Naperville, and often exchanged pulpits with Dave Weisbart, my predecessor here. Kendall was also my internship supervisor 11 years ago in Minneapolis. This summer, she is moving to Kansas City to take up a new church there. She's a deeply committed humanist, a skeptic about all things supernatural. And so the article is about how to have a sense of spirituality without necessarily requiring supernaturalism. And it isn't hard, really. It really isn't. I brought my spirit to the sea. I gazed upon infinity. I brought my spirit to the trees, seeking to know if God was nigh. And then I felt an inner flame. Upright I rose from bended knee to meet the asking ears. In experiences of nature and humanity, let us remember, is part of nature. We're often moved to these glimpses of infinity. The sense of wonder and dedication rises up in us. Just this week, I have felt that sense many times. I got goosebumps on my arm hearing about the Higgs boson. I know enough physics to know how big of a deal this is, and how its discovery confirms the spiritual truth long proclaimed that everything is connected in a single fabric of reality. Watching the fireworks with my daughter Wednesday night, seeing her joy, and also seeing the huge orange moon rise over the trees to join the party, it was incredible. Reading some new poetry this week, an old essay, a good joke, the mind quickens. We feel part of a conversation across time and space. That's just this week. People say that spirituality is a slippery word, that it doesn't mean anything. But they're making things too complicated. It's simple. Spirituality is a feeling of connection to a reality larger than yourself. It's happening when you feel wonder, awe, transforming love. It is possible to live in a fully materialistic world in which the apple is only food fit for hogs. But I don't wish to live in that world. And my own experience, and I know many of yours, is that you can indeed taste the sun and the rain and the soil in that fruit. This is not supernaturalism. This is passionate naturalism. I like the feeling of spirituality. I bet that you do too. Sometimes feelings of spirituality complicate our lives. We don't quite fit in to the apple is just food, materialistic culture, and that can be awkward because that culture surrounds us. We don't necessarily want our experience of spirituality to be equated with traditional religion because for many of us that doesn't fit quite right. And when we feel spiritual connection, it often changes our way of interacting with other people and with the earth, and that can be complicated too. But despite those hazards and complications, generally speaking, most of us want a bit more spirituality in our lives. We like that feeling. It's a great natural high, isn't it? We feel one with everything. Our petty daily troubles fade a little bit. We feel energized and at peace all at once. It is this feeling that religious life has sought, on one hand, to amplify and encourage, and on the other hand, to control and channel. The mystic, the prophet, these folks are both revered and persecuted by much of organized religion. And Unitarian Universalism is no different. We have celebrated our great mystics, Emerson and all the transcendentalists. We love to quote their words, how the roses only exist in this moment, about how we should each feel our soul and listen to the symphony of our own spirit, and so on and so on. We eat that stuff up. And at the same time, and depending on our mood, we try to silence the spiritual impulse. We call it non-scientific. We name it heresy against the goddess of reason. We call it mushy and weak. It reminds us of what we didn't like about something else or somewhere else that we once were, and so we can be skeptical, to say the least. These twin impulses are probably always going to be with us, and that's really okay. We need the feeling of connection and mystery to pull us forward, to transform us when we cannot transform ourselves. And we need it because it's real. We really are part of something larger than ourselves. But we also need just a bit of skepticism, a healthy but not overpowering sprinkle of doubt, to keep our assertions humble so that we don't draw hasty metaphysical conclusions based on our own personal idiosyncratic experience. It's because we need both of these things that folks who are wise in these matters speak of spiritual discipline. Spirituality is natural. It comes to us at any moment. But it is spiritual disciplines, intentional spiritual practices, which can make our natural experiences of spirituality come more often and be more integrated into our living day by day, and also keep us from the flights of fancy that would tempt us into magical thinking or unreasonable assertions. It's like exercise. Anybody can do it. But if you practice it, you will get more out of it. And if you learn how to do it well and keep your discipline, then you'll be less likely to, say, sprain an ankle, or more likely to stick with it through the thick and thin. Or if that's not a good metaphor for you, think of it like learning. Anyone who knows how to read can pick up a book, but if you don't have time to read in your life, that discipline, will you ever finish it? If you don't have folks to be in conversation with about what you're reading, either people in person or other writers, then how can you test your interpretations and understandings? So this month, we're going to be exploring spiritual practices as a core discipline of Unitarian Universalism. Unitarian Universalism preaches that we are all connected to each other, that the holy and the sacred is a unity, that all people are part of one family, that all life is part of a whole. These are spiritual assertions. You can find support for them in science for these claims, but the proof is in the spirit. So spiritual discipline, attention to one's spiritual life, cultivating and deepening these moments when we feel more than this, when we bend on knee or when we rise, when we bow our heads or when we lift them, attention to this life should be a core activity of our faith. A lot of Unitarian Universalists feel a sense of spirit, a sense of connection and purpose through nature. It's a common way that we do that, and that's going to be the focus for next week. The week after, I've asked someone to share a particular spiritual practice with you, the labyrinth. That's going to be really cool, and you'll want to be here. And I'm going to close out the month with some thoughts about the spiritual practices that sustain relational activities like marriage and parenting and friendship. What I'm trying to do this month is give you some tools that you can put in your spiritual toolbox. things that will help you as you seek to understand and develop your feelings of connection and awe and mystery and wonder. Some of these tools are easy to use, but all of them take practice. You need to be careful with a screwdriver. You can hurt somebody with a screwdriver, mostly yourself. You need to be really careful with a chainsaw, right? So there are levels of practice that are needed for these practices. So for the rest of today, let me mention a couple of spiritual tools, a couple of spiritual practices that I and others have found useful in strengthening the spiritual life. This is not an ordered or exhaustive list. When I asked for suggestions, a lot of my friends and colleagues said, oh, service has got to be on that list. And yes, that's important. And indeed, we'll spend August talking about service and leadership, at least in part. But here are three other key tools. One, of course, is prayer. I love Angela Herrera's writing about this because she expresses so well the truth. There are lots of different ways to pray because we need different things at different times. Sometimes we need to bow down and sometimes to stand up, sometimes to speak, sometimes to be silent. Some of you have told me that the prayer is your favorite part of the service, and others of you have told me it is your least favorite part of the service. I find that interesting. Jesus' instructions notwithstanding, there is no one way to pray. Prayer is a quality of intention, a desire to open yourself, to be explicit for a moment about what we desire for ourselves, for others, to state in words or not in words our gratitude, our love, our pain, and our hope. The old saying goes that prayer doesn't change the world, it changes you. That's true, but if we believe that we are part of the world, that everything is connected, then of course prayer does change the world because it changes us. So I invite you to explore prayer. Take a moment here and there, once or twice or 12 times a day, to stop and breathe in and out and be clear about your intention. Open yourself to the still, small voice within. Name the people on your heart. You can learn a prayer to say. Sometimes I say the first lines of an E. Cummings poem, I thank you, God, for most this amazing day. You can learn something, or you can just see what words come on your own. Try it out, but don't give up if it doesn't work right away. All spiritual practices take time and practice to work. Like the carrot, they do not come right away. And you have to have some trust and confidence that the seed will grow, even when others doubt you. If prayer per se doesn't sound like it will work for you, you can try its close cousin, meditation. Prayer goes out to go in. Meditation goes in to go out. You wind up basically in the same place either way, which is everywhere and right here. A second vital tool for your spiritual toolbox is conversation. Spiritual discipline is not something you can do by yourself. You can get part of the way by yourself, but all the wise folks I know on this question agree, one must have others to talk to. As a minister, I have to keep my spiritual life as strong as possible, and this is not always easy. So I spend a lot of time talking to people about my spiritual life. I have a spiritual director who I see about every 6 weeks. I meet with other Unitarian Universalist ministers monthly, and I go to annual conferences and retreats. That's why I do that. I email and call and text my minister friends to check in on our spiritual and personal and professional lives. How you doing? How are we doing? I'm not always sure that all of this is enough. What about you? Who are you checking in with on the state of your spirit? If you're in a small group here at the church, a covenant group or a chalice circle, this is what this is for, in part. We'll be signing folks up for new chalice circles next month that'll start in September. So if you want this and don't have it, please put your name down. Maybe you have a good friend to talk to about this. That's good. You can come talk to me too. I'm happy to set aside some time to hear about how things are with your spirit. However you go about it, this tool, conversation with others about the spiritual life, is essential. Most of us need someone who believes with us that our carrot will grow, who understands us when we say we taste the rain and the sun in the apple. We need one another. Third, and remember, this is not an exhaustive or even ordered list, just three of many tools to learn how to use. But third, something like grace. Not necessarily, let me be clear, not necessarily the grace that folks mean when they say they've been saved or chosen. No, I mean the grace of just enjoying life. The grace of gratitude for friends, for family, for food, for life itself. The grace of the world in which we can sometimes fall. The grace of the fact of connection. Of course, we don't do grace. It's not something to do. Instead, what you do, the spiritual discipline, is to work at opening yourself up to grace, about letting ourselves notice the beautiful world, about being willing to come awake to the reality of the beauty of the world, about not rushing from moment to moment, about letting go, about finding something to appreciate in this day, even if, especially if, it feels like the worst day of your life. That's the hard part, right? You can find something good about most days, it's pretty easy, but what about the day that you lose your job, or your best friend, or the doc gives you bad news? What about that day? Yes, even that day. This is why discipline. Because, friends, there will be hard days. And if the day you have to run a marathon is the first day you exercise, well, forget it. You're not going to make it. If Hamlet is the first book you ever pick up, good luck. It's not going to go well. You have to practice. Practice finding the beauty and the wonder in every moment. Remember that you are part of something larger than yourself. Give thanks. Do it every day, and when you need a reservoir of strength, it will be there for you. Practice prayer or meditation, and when you feel like you need to pray or just to stop and breathe in order to go on, you'll know how. Make sure you have folks that you can talk to so that when you need to cry with pain or with joy, you'll have someone to listen. Welcome wonder and mystery and joy into your life so that you'll know it's always there. The spiritual life, disciplined through practice, through community, combined with a life of learning and of service, this life is, I assure you, the good life. It really is. If you don't believe me, that's okay, because below the surface, my carrot is growing and yours is too. Just you wait and see. We're going to sing together. It's in your gray hymnal if you can read the music and want to. Number 15, the words will also be up here. The Lone Wild Bird. And I invite you to rise in body and or in spirit.